Good morning, good afternoon, everybody.
Okay. So a link to the agenda is right here. I'm pasting it in chat. Okay, IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. And you can go to the Credentials Community Group site to join. And this will prompt you to create a W3 web account first, if you haven't already. And this is all free and you can sign up there. And then the text of the community contributor license agreement is at this link that's in IRC. Call notes, these minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at our CCG meetings repo in GitHub. And that is available at this location. And so Anthony is going to moderate today. So, and I threw him a few curveballs by sort of sending out the agenda last minute. So Anthony, feel free to ping me anytime that you need me to, if I miss something. So we'll start with the introductions and reintroductions now.
Okay, hi everybody. So yeah, time for introductions and reintroductions.
I think you're muted, unless.
No.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3.
Yep, we can hear you okay.
Can anyone else hear him?
Yes, we can hear him.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad. Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, so there we go. The agenda just came in on my thing, so now we can move ahead. Okay, so introductions and reintroductions. Does anyone want to present themselves, present some work they have been doing in the last weeks that we should be aware of, etc., etc.? I will take the resounding silence as a no for this moment. So with that, I will move over to the work item of the day. And the work item of the day is really to try and finish the activities concept. So I will share my screen.
Oh, Anthony, sorry. I had the announcements and reminders, but it's really brief. I can just do this part real fast.
Go ahead.
Great. So first exciting announcement, Carrie Lemoy is joining us as co-chair. So applause. This is well-deserved, and we're very fortunate to have her. And second is that IIW is this week. And if you haven't registered or but are interested, that's available at this location. There should be a few of us that are interested in identity and, in education specifically there. So, certainly if you're on the fence about whether to go, reach out to me. I think, we can possibly run a few sessions that might help entice you to be there. It's a good opportunity to do some working sessions. So that's it for the announcements. And on to you, Anthony.
Anthony, your audio is off.
Okay, sorry about that. Though the work we wanted to do this week is to finalize the concept of activities. And to do that, a reminder of the, let's say, high level structure that we have decided for concepts as of last week. And under our high level concept, you start with a credential. The credential subject describes a person. The person uses has credential, and that has credential is divided into a credential instance, which is an instance of a concept definition. Both the instance and the definition have a name, ID, and description. The instance further has some date information, has some information about the organization with which you have done it, has a link to evidence, while the concept definition has a has parts to describe, let's say, subconcepts, and it can be related to others. The other thing to remind you of is that under issue number 39, which I am just pasting into the chat, we have made a whole list of examples of what we consider to be activities that should be described here. So today is intended to be very much a bit of a working session. And under the working session, we have essentially two questions. The questions are essentially, should we add anything or should we remove anything? To get to that, I'm just going to change the screen share to the browser for a moment. Here we go. I'll just remind you some of the examples of what we considered to be activities from the issue. We have an example here. John has run a race. He did so on 14th December with a time of 3 hours, 48 minutes. Person has completed a workplace sensitivity training workshop. Jane has completed cross-cultural experiences program on 1st February 2021. She attended 3 workshops on the topics of culture, self-awareness, perceptions, and values, and completed a culminating self-assessment on the skills game. Person has completed 18 hours of supervised practice driving. Person was the 4th author, editor, lab assistant that contributed to the publication of a DOI. Person was assessed in problem-solving skills on 29th March 2021. Person has completed 8,000 hours of electrical work experience over 4 years. Person, or more accurately, virtual avatar, has completed 20 hours VR lunar module training simulation. I must say I quite like this one. Person has reached expert level proficiency in tailoring for large ceremonies. Person has attended Train the Trainer 1 seminar on 29th March 2021. Generally speaking, these are all examples of activities. It should be mentioned here that this expert level proficiency in tailoring for large ceremonies, this wouldn't strictly speaking be under our, wouldn't necessarily be an activity under our definition, because this isn't something you have done. Expert level proficiency in tailoring is something you have achieved. It's a competency or skill you've gotten. So this one wouldn't necessarily be considered within our topic. Same thing here. If a person was assessed in problem-solving skills, that isn't per se an activity, because once we are assessing you, again, you go under the more achievement or competency definitions. So if you disagree with my suggestion to exclude these two from our activities list, then then now is the time to say so. I am also seeing that there are a couple of items already in the queue, so let's get started. Marty, you are up, and then Adam.
Thanks. So just on the primary structure of the credential, for consideration, the idea of attachment. We're using that extensively in a couple of different use cases of transcript or license as it relates to achievements or credentials.
Okay, would anyone like to speak in favor or against the idea of adding attachments? I'll just keep on going down to the queue if you don't mind. Adam and then Oscar.
I was going to talk about the assessment. So assessment is an activity because the person is being assessed, is completing an assignment, that would be the assessment. So not leaving, I couldn't understand why you suggested leaving it out.
Okay, so I will explain that for a moment and then, we have four concepts here with definitions. One is an activity, one is an achievement, one is an involvement, and one is a competency. Essentially, when you look at the definitions we have already established here, we are saying that if you do something, like the example of running a race, that is what activity is for. Activity is just to say, this is something the student has done. It is not to say, if we want to say, we have assessed the student, and because we have assessed him, we can guarantee that he has this competence or he has this achievement. That's what we have the achievement and competency concepts for. So the idea, at least as we've put the definition so far, is that activity should be by definition not assessed in an assessment. We have other concepts to take assessment into. Is that clear?
But I guess the assessment is an assessment of an activity, right? Right? The student submits a project, completes something that is assessed. So
if you are going, so you can have an assessment of an activity, but the way we understood it is that if you do, the activity concept is for when you want to say the student has done an activity, dot. If you want to describe the level of competence the student has achieved, then we want to use the achievement or competency, where we say that the student has achieved this level of competency as displayed by X assessment. So the idea is, we could say that the student did those activities as well. This is why we have related to and alignment properties. So my proposal here, just to be 100% clear, is not to kick this at all. I will simply take this example and move it into the achievement discussion, which I hope we will start next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Let me see who was next on the queue. I believe it was Kerry.
Actually, I think it was Adam. Who is next?
Great. Yeah, I think I was just before Oscar there, but yeah, I know my question was just around that diagram and apologies. I think I'm probably a little bit later to the discussion on that, but just it is the represented structure there being that you'd have sort of your credential and then you'd have a credential subject and then a credential subject has credential property. And I'm just curious how that would work and sort of, I guess, what that would look like in practice, having that nested credential instance or has credential property within a credential.
Anthony, if you want, I can talk to this. We talked about this last week.
I was about to ask you to.
Okay, great. So Adam, up to sort of, okay, so credential subject, that's all VC, verifiable credential level stuff. Let me include the link to why we did that, which will probably help. So this is per Phil Barker's recommendation based on, and actually I'll go ahead and screen share. Okay, so we had started with sort of person concept in case, you know, people were on a call where we discussed that, but Phil Barker mentioned the problems with having this sort of static definition stuff here versus the instance stuff here, which is that in an RDF graph view, things get compacted so you can't distinguish the instance information beyond this sort of static or definition node. So we ended up, so he proposed basically flipping these two. So has credential, which is sort of the static definition, the instance information. And then that's an instance of, some static definition. So the nice thing about it is we're pointing out on last call is that this is a lot like the open badges sort of like assertion out here and badge class in here. The main difference with open badges would be that person, just basing on the verifiable credentials data model, person is pulled out here versus in open badges, person is a property of the assertion, which is this layer. So I think one of the other advantages too is that this actually, in terms of the educational data standards that we've been working with, this one makes our lives a lot easier because sort of like a lot of things in say credential engine registry take over around here. And really the main thing that we're doing is providing bridges to existing standards. And I like that this sort of takes all of the verifiable credentials slash instance stuff and then says, and then look here for all the other information. And there'll be some baseline like name, ID, kind of stuff, but everything else is sort of, it allows a lot of flexibility for that other standard to take over from there. So that's sort of the high level. I wanted to reiterate that because we just talked about it last call. And so this is still pretty fresh and feel free to add comments on this thread as well.
Okay, I am seeing a lot of comments in the chats regarding this, which I honestly think would be made far better over voice so that we could take it up. If you don't mind, I am going to clear the queue and ask for people to speak on things in order so we can stick on the topics and I'll make sure we come to everything. So first of all, does anybody want to speak around the current structure as just presented by Kim? If so, please put the queue into the chat right now. Okay, Nate, go ahead.
Hey, Anthony, thank you. One note here on this last diagram that you showed him in issue 38, credential instance having a description. I haven't seen a need for credential instance to have a description. And a lot of the properties there, everything else other than description is duplicative of something that is already in the verifiable credentials core model. I think I'm not absolutely sure on evidence because I think I've seen a reference to there being evidence sort of at the VC level as opposed to inside the claim. So one of the original proposals from this group from over a year ago was to connect person directly to the competency or concept definition, defined achievement. And the credential instance is just the instance of the verifiable credential itself. Certainly this model display here could work, but is it the most elegant thing that we have? And then if we're inventing something other than like what an existing standard like Open Badges already does for properties that go into credential instance, why are we bothering to invent all that if most of it is at the top level in the verifiable credential anyway? And if we chose not to reinvent it all, we could just go straight to the Open Badges badge class as concept definition for the achievement definition.
Kim, to respond.
Yeah, that's great. So that was actually, we did things in a little bit different order. I was wondering about description, if it was needed there. I was wondering that as well in terms of like, so what I was doing with this diagram is capturing the thread in a new proposal, but I was wondering, do we need that explicit credential instance thing? Maybe it's, maybe what we're saying is that person, yeah, maybe those instance variables are captured on the person layer. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but yeah, I'm curious what Phil Barker thinks. But meanwhile, I definitely agree. So description can remove date, organization, evidence are italicized because those were areas where they may have been conceptual things. So like date, we have a lot of different forms of dates, like issuance date is on the outer level. Organization, it wasn't clear what that meant. And then evidence, that may have been on some different layer. I don't remember which one, but yeah. Phil Barker.
Yes, Phil next.
I was responding to seeing the credential instance data hanging off the concept node and pointing out that wouldn't work. I think Nate might be right that, you know, if it's already there at the credential, the VC level, then we don't need it again, either directly underneath person as shown here, or hanging off of the concept definition node as shown here. I think it does mean you can only have one, you know, what we're now calling credential instance, or what's shown as credential here, per verified credential, but yeah, that's probably not a bad thing. So yeah, I think Nate's suggestion may well work. The important thing is that the instantiation data has to be attached to the person, which the VC is.
Perry?
Hey there. I think it might be helpful, well, two things, maybe three. It may be helpful in this diagram if we add next to the credential, what is in VC, just so that folks coming to this group who aren't like totally familiar with that would be able to see what is in what, so we can reference that. And I do agree, like date, organization, description exists in other places. I do think evidence is one that we should talk about more and may actually be a bigger topic than today. We could just look at what Open Badges does with evidence, but also we may want to talk about how also, you know, evidence could be embedded in cases where it needs to be. Maybe it could be both at the beginning to keep it simple, like options to do either.
Okay, I think I am next on the queue. And I will use it just to remind you when we had approved this list of fields 3 or 4 weeks ago, why we had chosen to include date and organization under the concepts. And this goes back to our very long discussion over 3 weeks, where we were discussing that the date of issue of the credential is not necessarily the date you have done an action. And in the same way, the organization that is issuing the credential is not necessarily the organization you have done the educational activity with. So the idea of putting date and organization under the instance is there are four cases where these differ from the issuance date and issuance organization of the credential itself. All of you had a lot of examples of this kind of thing happening. And this was, let's say, the reason these are included. Very happy to revisit it, then I would ask for suggestions of how else we would deal with this. Further people for the queue. Okay, since I'm seeing no one on the queue at the moment, what I'm going to ask is my first question, which was, if we think about the activities that I was running through at the beginning of the meeting and asking, are there any fields we need to add to accurately describe activities, then the question would be, do we want to add any additional properties to this? Okay, Nate, go ahead.
So the credential definition concept probably could be fleshed out a little bit more. Credential definitions often have a creator themselves or an organization that is responsible for it. So imagine that and several other properties off of the concept definition are probably could be fleshed out. And maybe more importantly, we might identify data classes out there in the world used by existing standards or communities, such as Open Badges Badge Class and CTDL credential that might be used to describe existing credentials in the world already.
Okay, I've taken note of these. So just to say that my understanding is that the approach we have decided to take is essentially to, let's say, keep our work to a bare minimum of what we consider to be the absolutely essential properties which must be there or which are highly recommended to be there in every and all use cases, and for essentially everything else to make reference to existing standards. So the idea here is really not to be reinventing the wheel, but as far as possible, yes, to be using the existing definitions and so on and so forth. So just uh, to take the desire here and turn it into a concrete suggestion, what I would suggest we do is that, let's say, once we lock the minimum properties of the class, we would then go back, check CTDL, open badges, Europass, et cetera, and basically say, okay, so now these concept definitions can be used in conjunction with these classes in these various standards. If you agree with that approach, you can stay silent or applause, or if you disagree, add yourself to the queue. I see Kim on the queue. Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I think I updated the diagram, and I think what I show here reflects, okay, so if you interpret the italicized things to be conceptual, I think we're not too far adrift from what Nate was proposing. So remember when we first did the discussion back on the top level one, we agreed that there were certain fields that we thought made sense, but the bulk of the fields we were saying, we don't want to sort of define new terms that are defined elsewhere. We want to see this work as the skeleton into other standards, right? So so I updated this with credential instance italicized, meaning, we don't know if that's a node there yet. Maybe it's just not necessary at all. But I think we're interested in things like, what are the organizations beyond issuer, which happens up at the credential level, and then, you know, where does evidence go, for example? So we may end up just removing that node completely. I think that to this point, I don't think any of these things that are italicized are things that we're necessarily proposing as a term. I think we're going to like clean this up as we start working through some examples. Sorry, I'm reading while talking. So I think that was what I meant to say. that's it.
Just a quick comment on the diagram as you have it at the moment with credential instance. I think it might be useful to change that to concept instance, because, you know, credential is confusing. One of the things that you might achieve is sometimes called a credential. This whole thing is wrapped up in a credential. It could be an activity instance. It could be an achievement instance. It could be an involvement instance. So
yeah, that was just a mistake. I'll fix that. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Kim, while you are doing that, I see a comment from Marty, which I think everyone will agree with looking at the chat, but I will just read it out. Has credential should essentially have a cardinality of one is too many. So I think everyone agrees with that. Again, if not, put an urgent cue in the chat. If not, we can also update this in the diagram. I see no objections, so we agree that has credential will go one to many. Next thing I would like to bring up is Kerry's comment about where does the organization belong, and does it belong under the instance or does it belong under the definition? So, I mean, Kerry and I have both given some examples in the chat, but essentially, let's say, I would like to hear, yes, some opinions on either side of this. Kerry, go ahead.
I think I'm a little bit reiterating what Nate was saying earlier, what the change that Kim made here is that the issuer is typically like the organization that would be in the instance, say in a badge class, an open badge, except that, we could have an issuer and an organization be the same, but I think the organization falls under the, not the instance, but the definition. And then we have the issuer as the, the issuer of the verifiable credential. but that it doesn't belong under the instance, but I could be wrong.
I would really love to hear some other opinions on this, if somebody has them. I know when you were building Europass, we had some very, very long discussions on this. In the end, we put it under the instance, but I mean, to be honest, it was extremely close. So I would really love to hear back from the group if you think that the organization is more of an element of the definition or the instance and the justification for or against.
So I'll jump in. In certain cases, the credential instance, at least from an education perspective, so within a transcript as a credential, you could potentially have the organization be the school that is issuing part of that transcript, and then you could also have the state as another credential as part of that, you know, entire transcript. So that would be one use case for the organization being at the credential at the instance level.
I am also seeing Nate, I think it's an absolutely great idea, but yes, please get on the queue and suggest it formally.
Sure. So we've been talking about this idea in Open Badges for years, since 2015 at least, and there are use cases for credential definitions or concept definitions being defined by an organization. And so those generally do have authorship of some form, and then awards themselves, the credential instances, also have authorship. With Open Badges, as of the latest version, we do not support these authorship diverging. So the instance does not have an issuer property itself right now in Open Badges 2.0, but there have been people talking about use cases for if it should or how to manage which issuers are authorized to produce such a an award of a definition defined by another organization. But there definitely are use cases for there being separate independent properties at each level. Many of the use cases in education have it as the same entity. And then if you do diverge and have a different entity authoring the credential definition as issuing the instance, then you get into some more complicated worlds of what the relationship is between those entities and verifying, does this entity really have the authority to grant an instance of a particular defined credential that's been defined by another organization? So for that reason, Open Badges stayed with a single model, and it was defined on the badge class, which is the credential definition or concept definition. But there definitely are use cases for both.
Kerry, has Nate answered the question, your question, sufficiently?
Don't know. I think so. Nate, do you mind just directly just answering that quick question, what I just put in there? Like, what is the difference between the issuer and the credential instance organizer? The issuer of the credential and the credential instance organizer. I mean, I know the difference between the organization and the credential instance and the definition, but then we have the issuer up top and the credential.
Well, I mean, if you recall, my position is that this pseudo node here for a credential instance should not exist in the model. I would prefer that we use the top level verifiable credential for the model. So moving all those properties that are defined under credential instance up to the top at credential, right. And not having this other layer of the onion kind of in between some of the other important pieces of the logic, but
nevertheless, you know, we could theoretically be flexible. I mean, I linked to a paper in here that Kim and I wrote back in 20, too long ago. And there were both of these options explicitly expressed in that paper. So this is a plausible right. thing to do. So in any case, what I was speaking to was that there is an instance and there is a credential definition, and these may have different authorship, but the meaning of each authorship relationship is fairly clear, one being the authority that awards this particular instance, and the other one being the authority that has defined a particular achievement that many might earn.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that part. I think what I'm looking for and understanding, like, say, in Kim's new graphic, there is an organization under credential instance, but there's also an issuer of the credential. Wouldn't they be one and the same?
And that's what I'm suggesting we should.
Okay. And then the organization under credential instance could go under concept definition, right? So we could have an issuer, but a different organization under the definition. But not under instance.
I am seeing Kim next on the queue.
Yeah, so I want to repeat because I feel like it's not being heard. but yes, so this whole idea of the instance of the concept definition and all of those being placeholders and everything. Actually, I think I updated the graphic if you refresh. But yeah, so the idea is from our earlier discussions that was just placeholders that. It may go away. It may be the outer level. If it's bogging down understanding, I'd prefer to just go ahead and remove it. And we could just go ahead and put them at the instance layer. I think for me, it's not, how do you say, like, I'm okay with the flexibility that, you know, knowing that whatever is grouped under there may end up being in the credential, you know, at the credential layer, or we're just keeping track of these things for where they ultimately need to go. So my understanding of why organization was in there is to capture things like things that aren't necessarily the issuer. Like maybe this is, you know, course author or, you know, the instructor who, you know, delivered that particular course. At the same time, I would be in favor of saying, okay, that sort of information is up to whatever standard that we're talking about. So why don't we go ahead and remove that rather than worrying about a thing that we don't have an example of? Similarly, so that would leave basically evidence, which would be at a different layer anyway. So, I mean, I would be fine just saying like any instance metadata for now, just to make our lives easier and, you know, not have that sort of uncertainty. Just go ahead and remove it and then and put it at the outermost layer. And then we can keep them in mind as we go, if that works.
Okay, I will follow up from Kim and just remind on why we have all these extra organizations. And I will try and give an example, though we spent quite a bit of time discussing such examples. So let's take the example of some sort of driving test credential. The issuer might be the DMV, but you will have done the driving lesson itself with so-and-so driving school, and the actual driving activities you will have been done will have been specified by the National Standards Authority for Driving. Therefore, one credential, three different organizations involved in different parts of it. One issuing, one which you did the educational experience with, and one which specified what that educational experience should be. I could give you tens of real life examples from countries in Europe on this. It's a very, very common. And so this is why we want to give the option for there to be other organizations apart from the issuer, because the issuer is often not the important organization for the chain of trust for the use case. Kim, I see a comment from Marty about not being clear on the recommendation. Could you please try and clarify?
So I think, okay, I think that this node is causing significant confusion, and that even the things that it's retained for, like organization, is, you know, how do we say? Okay, I think that everything, my proposal is everything that we were saying, credential instance, for now, let's just move it to the outer node, this, to credential. And then anything like organization where you're saying, we need to capture this variety, it may not be the issue or blah, blah, blah. Let's just have a separate like column or something outside of this model to track as we work through all of the things, you know, make sure we're capturing, how do you say, make sure we're, I don't know how to say this. So it's sort of like, why is organization there, right? It's because we decided from our previous conversations that it is a thing that may occur in these different credentials. It may be common, it may be worth calling out across the different concepts. So, but at the same time, it sounds like we don't have enough information right now to call that a thing that's not confusing to everyone. So instead, what I'm proposing, let's just yank out that entire credential instance node, put some separate placeholder for, okay, here are the things that we are still uncertain about. You know, it may be at the credential layer, et cetera, but I feel like we're getting bogged down on that credential instance node being there. And so I feel like we may make better progress by doing it that way, removing it, tracking separately these fields like organization or whatever that we want to see what generalizations exist. Does that make sense?
Well, so does that remove the idea of hash credential could be greater than one? Like, because that seems like it totally removes that opportunity, and that makes a lot of things very difficult.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
But the ability for them to be issued by different issuers would be removed.
Yeah, that then that does not.
Okay, so Nate, let's have Nate make a proposal then, because like I'm probably not getting what Nate's saying.
If no, that... I think Kim, you and I are in line, but I am not sure that Marty and I are in line with one another. I think that if there are two different, and I'm putting words in your mouth, Marty, this may not be correct, but I think that if there are two different awards, they should be two different credentials. And especially if they are issued by different parties, combining them into the same single credential, I don't think is the correct usage of the verifiable credentials data model, especially if they're different issuers. If they're the same issuer and we want to make a joint claim that student A has earned, you know, two different credentials, and it's really, we're going to award them as one single thing, but it's an award of two separate things. That's a plausible use case that I wouldn't necessarily try to object to. But I think if we want to talk about two different issuers awarding two related credentials to the same student, that should just be two separate credentials, and we can package them together using a verifiable presentation or a CLR or all sorts of other packaging type specifications. Did that answer all of the questions that you had, Kim?
Yes, definitely.
So just to be clear on your recommendation, Nate, you're saying that a credential could actually be expressed in another presentation that could encapsulate multiple credentials. So it's not actually a credential. It's not actually a verifiable credential as a whole.
Though it is verifiable through the same mechanisms, such as digital proofs. It's just called a different thing in the verifiable credentials data model, called the verifiable presentation. The purpose is slightly different. A presentation is put together by a publisher that has combined several credentials, and typically they're about one subject, and you bucket them together, and at the presentation layer it's verifiable, but yes, the person who is sending this to you did in fact sign it, and it has not been tampered with since they signed it. And then at the individual credentials level, each of those are verifiable as well from the original issuers.
Got it.
Okay, I think I am next on the queue, and I mean, what I would simply like to argue is that this isn't the way the real world works. It's very it's very elegant on the assumption that everyone actually issues verifiable credentials for their own activities. But we have multiple examples, including in our own GitHub, of organizations issuing verifiable credentials on behalf of others for activities done elsewhere, et cetera, et cetera. Not to mention that at least in Europe, I have a whole file full of legislative instruments which require credentials to be issued from multiple issuers. So I mean, at least from my perspective, if we say this, we basically are cutting out a big number of real educational use cases and saying, sorry, the VC model just plain doesn't support you. And I think that would still do it. If we include organizations in concept definition, I think we could do that. And I see there's also a cue from Kim. So I will pass on to Kim.
Yes, sorry, I'm kind of cutting in and out because of the doggy. But so I think we even talked about a solution for the multiple issuer thing. Actually, let me share my screen real fast so we can see what I'm talking about. But okay, so multiple issuer, we talked about two models for multiple issuers, you know, sort of ad hoc relationships, or, you know, the idea of, you know, if it's an ongoing relationship, sort of expressing it at the issuer level, this merged issuer notion, or the idea of this joined issuer type, which is meant for more dynamic relationships, which is tracked in the VC data model. And so, you know, we defined it thusly. So we're not cutting out that use case either. I just want to make clear.
May I ask that my understanding of what you have just showed is that this example is for, let's say, joint degree type use cases where you have organizations that are equally issuers, but in the end, one of their signatures has to be used. How does it apply to organizations which all they are doing is issuing credentials for other organizations? I see Philip in the queue.
Yeah, I tend to agree, Anthony, with you. There just are so many examples of a cascading set of responsibility that, and I think in the K-12's case, which is where Marty's coming from, there's a state, there's a school district, and then there's an individual school. And they partition sort of the responsibility for a curriculum at a certain level at the state, then the individual school district is responsible for the implementation of that through its schools, but the school themselves are actually doing the instruction. And that's the kind of, I think, sort of cascading thing you're talking about, Anthony, which is quite frequent in institutions, even in universities. We have an institution that may have a bunch of different colleges, and the colleges defer to departments for certain things. And you could see a model like this applying to that circumstance equally well. So I just want to give a recognition to the fact that if we build something that doesn't map well to the existing structures that we have to deal with, we may be causing as much adoption issues as we are being parsimonious to the conceptual approach.
Thank you for the comment, Philip. Before I pass on to the next two, I'm being very aware of the time, and I'm quite sure that we are not going to finish this discussion today. So what I'm going to propose is that we will take the last two comments. I will also propose that myself, Kim, and Kerry do a quick meeting this week to, let's say, see if we can take the comments that go from this proposal and turn them into, let's say, a formal proposal for the group for next time. But with that, I will pass on to Nate.
Okay, I agree, Anthony, you have made some very good points around the use cases for a issuer that doesn't actually use verifiable credentials, still awards credentials, but they may be made out of paper and things like that. And other issuers that do award verifiable credentials might offer the republish those credentials in verifiable credentials format. That might be a compelling reason to have an intermediate instance object inside the claim. However, I think it might be possible to still do this within the simpler model. And that might be that the issuer of the outer credential is indeed still the organization that has the capability to issue verifiable credentials, but that the evidence or something like that, that we could include at that outer credential level outside of the claim might express, you know, like here's a scanned copy of the paper version or something like that, or some description of the original format in which the credential appeared. With that, I'll pass to next.
Yeah.
Okay. Next. I lost you a little bit. It's Keith.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just had the quick comment. I mean, we're building out the platform right now for our LMS. And so every company, whether big or small, when they sign up, they become an issuer, right? So they register their info, they get a signing key. So maybe I don't understand your example, Anthony, but you know, with modern VC platforms, everyone can be an issuer, right? Like every organization, whether they're big school, small school, they sign up, they register, they give their info, they get a signing key, and then they are the issuer of VC. So I guess that's where also maybe I'm struggling, is that it's not, an infrastructure question, because platforms can take care of a lot of this stuff.
Before I'll answer that if nobody else wants to queue, but first, does anybody else want to queue? Okay, if I'm not seeing it, what I'll answer very quickly to you is that I'm fully aware that technologically this is eminently possible. At least the use cases I tend to come from are always public use cases where there are very specific legislative rules on who can issue credentials, who you do it with, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know how common this is around the world, but at least in Europe, it is very, very common to have institutions that are not allowed to issue their own credentials, but ministries or public bodies have to issue those credentials on behalf of those institutions. And let's say these are the use cases I'm trying to ensure will not be excluded, because I mean, I can name 15 countries that use them. So this is where I get a little bit scared. If there are no further comments for the queue at the moment, what I am going to suggest, as mentioned, is that Kim and Kerry and I will put our heads together, try and turn this into a formal proposal so that we're not just always going around in a loop, and try and take this on. Kim also says that we should talk about VPs during the next call. Could you say a few words about that, Kim? And final word is yours.
Yeah, thank you. I think that there's some misunderstandings around verifiable presentations and the idea that, so these are much lighter weight notions than say like this, the CLR standard. So I think that maybe talking about what those are, how, the usability isn't perfect, but to Nate's point of improving usability of lots of credentials, I think lots of credentials tends to be more the path that a lot of verifiable credentials implementations are going, because with verifiable presentations, it makes it easy to bundle them and preserve that sort of the trust model that verifiable credential data model offers. So that might be worth talking about a little bit more, just to sort of reconcile verifiable credential approaches with some other data standards that we've been talking about.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you everyone for the meeting. See you same time, same place next week.
Thanks everyone. Good call.